Be more people in hell because of legalism than any other thing. I mean, everybody believes something. I don't know how many thousands, seems to me like 30,000 different kinds of religions in the world. I heard it one time. But it all boils down to two groups, those who are born again and those who aren't. So, all right, you want to sit back So we're going to go into evangelism now, and if you will go to your book, Why Evangelism is Necessary. Back at the very beginning, when we sat down to figure out how are we going to reach the Amish, my wife came up with the idea that, you know, they don't have radios, they don't have televisions, they don't have internet. At that time, that hardly anyone had phones except for phone shandies. And so they were pretty much cut off from the outside. There was just no connection to all the resources that we have. But the one thing they did have was a mailbox. And we'll get into that, I guess, a little bit more. In some sects, members are warned that if caught discussing spiritual things outside their membership, they'll be publicly disciplined by the church. I'll never forget how two of my sisters had come to the workplace where I had been working as a tool and die maker, and they said, "Joe, you have to do something because the bishop and dad and mom's community excommunicated them." My dad and mom were already in their 50s at that time, and the bishop had cast them over to Satan for this reason. Four of us left the Amish. And for that reason, the bishop felt like they didn't raise the family like they should have. And they said, not only has the bishop excommunicated them, he's told them that they cannot leave their own property. Now, my dad was a well-known doctor, and he was involved in lots of different things. And all of a sudden, he's not even allowed to leave his own property except to go buy groceries and go to church every other Sunday. And this was going into the third month. And when Saloma and Ella came to my workplace, where there were 900 employees, I still remember it. I was working away, and I got a phone call from the front office. There's these two Amish ladies in the front lobby, and they want to see you. And when I got up there, they said, "Joe, you have to do something. They want to commit suicide. They don't even want to live anymore." So I immediately got in my vehicle, and I drove to the bishop's house. And I drove in there, and I looked around a little bit. I couldn't find him. And then I was standing there by the milk house, I saw him walking toward the milk house. He was back in the fields, but he was walking toward me. And this was the same bishop that did our wedding just a few years earlier. And so when he came up, he looked at me and he goes, "I shouldn't allow a dog on my property." That's how he began his conversation. And I just said, "Joe, I'm not here to cause any problems." And I started out this way: "I'd like to thank you for doing our wedding. Of all the bishops that we could have chosen, you were the one that I chose. And I will never forget that." And I said, "The second thing that I remember about you is that when I was at a very low point in my teenage life, you, of all people, came to me and asked, 'How can I help you?' And I never forgot that." And there was a third thing, and I don't remember what that was. But after I said that, then I said, "But Joe, you cannot do this to my dad and mom. You cannot keep them out of the church and control their lives the way you are. They don't even want to live." And his first next question was, "Who told you?" That was all he could think of. Who told you? Because his His goal was to go find those people, track them down, and discipline them. And Samuel talked a little bit about that. When there was discipline, it was in front of the entire church. Like, you were brought up, public example. And it was a very humiliating thing. And so my dad and mom, when they're cast out of the church, excommunicated, they would set them up in a little corner, and that's where they would eat, at a little corner table, while the rest of them sat here and ate together. And everybody could see Dad and Mom. And this is humiliating. This is what Joe wanted to do. He wanted to go track these people down. And so they're very careful as to how much they let leak out to the outside. For those reasons, it might be easy for us to sit back and do nothing. It would be easy to do that, right? We could pretend that it's impossible. There's such a hard core culture. I mean, where do you start? And we could ignore the desperate need, and we could wait on someone more qualified. However, consider this, that sexual and verbal and emotional abuse is at an historic high. I was just, in the last 3 weeks, I've been dealing with two Amish brothers from Bloomfield, Iowa. The one has 7 charges, the other one 6 charges. Sexual charges against their own sister, and it is unbelievable what these guys did. And this is happening everywhere. Just recently, there's some more that are going to court, and they'll probably end up in prison. There's a number of them in prisons. We're dealing with Amish men who are in prisons. I was out last year in Missouri, and I was speaking at this one church in Columbia, Missouri, and this young man came in, and he said, I ran away from home, and he said, my father molested all of us boys. And he said, I ran away. And, you know, this is going on all the time. It is at a historic high. It is so bad, church, that the entire Lancaster, Pennsylvania bishops and all those that are linked to the Lancaster type Amish, they've come together and they've said, we have to do something about this. Too many of our men are going to prison, and we have to do something. Let me tell you, that is what religion and legalism will do to people. Now, number 2, turmoil, unrest, and division among the Amish churches is also at a high. It's not just our culture, our world, but there's a lot of unrest and turmoil that is going on among the Amish church right now. And the younger generation in particular is asking questions. And they're not okay with just to do it just because that's the way it's always been done. Number 4, hundreds of Amish people are placing their faith in Christ each year because someone outside their community shared the gospel with them. Hundreds of people. There are little pockets of revival that are bursting out, and there are some people that are doing their best. They're bringing bishops in from other communities, and they're trying to stop this, and they're excommunicating and threatening. In one church in Indiana just recently, half the church was excommunicated because they are taking a stand. And number 5, God is moving among the Amish communities. Could he want to use you? And I have no doubt in my mind, there's no doubt that this church is in this place to reach this Amish community. Isaiah said also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, sent me. 3 ways to connect. There are 3 ways. We're going to look at these very quickly. Number 1 is the postal service. I didn't bring our directories, but the Amish have directories. And Enos, you were asking, where's Enos at? Enos, We were talking earlier about how you could get involved in ministry. And I don't know if your group, I don't believe the Schwarzentruber groups have directories, right? You don't have Amish directories?
No.
But most Amish communities have directories. Wayna, you guys, you guys have? No. Okay, well, over the years, we have gathered these directories, and it'll have dad and mom, and it'll have all the children, their names, and their addresses, and their ages. And so we have actually entered all of these addresses into a database and have come up with over 50,000 family addresses. And these are the addresses that we're using to send the Amish voice into, and also this is how we get the Bible Club to them. And so through the mail, get an Amish directory of this area. I'm pretty sure this area has one. Or you can do what we've done. We've up there in West Salem area, we've just literally gone out on the streets and drove up and down the roads and copied down addresses, and we started sending them the Amish voice. I've helped churches mail out New Testaments to their entire communities, other booklets and literature. I know a guy in Indiana that he will go to church on Sunday, and by that Sunday evening, he will have typed out the entire sermon of his pastor. And he will type it out and mail it out to thousands of Amish people in Indiana area. Use the mailbox. We also have this Mega Voice. We have this, it's a solar-powered device that has the entire Old and New Testament Bible on it, plus sermons. And it is operated by the sun. We sent this out to some of the Amish people that are open and searching. So number one is postal service. Learn to reach Amish people through the postal service. This is a copy of the Amish Voice. We actually have some copies of the Amish Voice in the back. You're welcome to grab one up. If you have an email address, we try to the Amish, it's free. But you can subscribe for $15 a year. You can subscribe to the Amish Voice and receive it. Or if you have an email address, you can sign up for it online. I also would like to just say this. We have individuals and churches that will support, that will adopt like an Amish community, an entire community, and become responsible for getting the Amish voice into that community. You would pay for the postage and the printing. That's it. All the labor is volunteer. Here's the Bible Club. Number two. So number one is postal service. Number two, the second way to reach Amish people is through the former Amish. The former Amish are the doorway into the community. If you I've been asking around a little bit. I've wanted to know, and I still don't have the answer. But where are the young people going when they leave this community out here? They're going somewhere. And the people that I've talked to have said, well, you just don't hear. You just don't hear anything. I'm convinced there is no community anywhere where there aren't young people leaving. They're leaving all the time. And I know there are young people leaving this community. I would love to know where they go. It's possible that they would go to a little town like, closer to a town like Olean. Most of the time they don't hang around too close, but they don't go too far either. They kind of hang on the edge of the communities, and they get closer to the cities. But I would find out where they are, get to know them, and the more you get to know them, the more you can get in and meet with their families. And that's exactly what Denise and David, you guys were saying. Through Jonas, you were able, well, I guess you already had known their family.
Yeah. Ours kind of went in reverse. We got to know his family first.
You got to know them first, yes. But it is another way to reach them. The former Amish are always thinking outside the Amish box and trying to fit into the English culture. Utilize this opportunity to help them reach goals of independence, dignity, housing, clothes, jobs, while you share God's good news. So a lot of the former Amish that we've helped over the years, most of the time, more times than not, they will just sort of be so tired of religion that when they leave, they don't want to go to church, they don't want to hear about anything. They just kind of throw it all out, baby and the bathwater and all. And you have to be really, really careful and gentle and just kind of walk with them. But there will come a time, and I've realized something. You know how it is when you are going from a teenager and you're wanting to become an adult and you're going through those changes and you're trying to figure out how you fit into the adult life, and sometimes you kind of switch on and off, back and forth. And we have this with these teenagers. They come out and I'll ask them, I said, are you a teenager today or an adult? Because your actions make you look like you're a teenager, and yet I know that in your heart you want to be an adult, and we'll have these conversations. But you see, they're trying to find their identity. And when somebody leaves the Amish community, it doesn't matter whether they are a teenager or 50 years old. When they leave that Amish community and they move here to this English community, it will take about 3 years for them to find their identity. And they'll kind of go through all kinds of emotions up and down, and you just kind of have to go with them until they figure out where they fit in. Ask about the beliefs and practices of the local sect to better understand and help them with the physical and spiritual needs. As you're working with the former Amish, ask them about the community and learn more about your community. Because remember, all communities are different. Prior to the year 2000, there were few Amish leaving. Prior to the year 2000, I remember way back when we left, hardly anybody left. That was 30 years ago. And when you left, you didn't have a lot of support. And so what we did is what everybody else was doing. We'd leave and then we'd go back. And then we'd leave and then we'd go back. We'd miss our family, and then it was just a back and forth. But today, there are so many that have left that when a new person leaves, they walk into a huge support base. And it is very important that they have that support base. Sandy, I don't think, is here anymore. She was trying to find a way of, and we get this a lot. She said, hey, my daughter is in Alaska, and they're looking for some help. And if you have a former Amish girl that would fit the bill, would you want to send them up there to Alaska? Well, I said, yes, but to just send one is probably not going to work. There needs to be two together, because they need each other for support. And that's often the case. Amish are performance driven. Teach them that it's not what they can do for God, but it's what has already been done for them. All right, so we've looked at two ways. Here's a picture. This is Stephen. Now this was a former Bucky Mennonite. We have lots of them in our area. We have three types of Mennonites. But this one is from the Bucky or the Wenger Mennonites. So Stephen wanted to commit suicide. He had left his community and was sitting in Mansfield in an apartment. He was looking, didn't want to live anymore. And he found one of our YouTube videos. And so we got connected. And one day we were just driving down 545, and I was asking him about his salvation, and he wasn't quite sure, and he thought he was saved, and finally I just pulled off to the side, and I pulled my Bible out of the glove compartment, and there we sat. It was right here this time, and we went through the plan of salvation, and that day he got saved all over. And I remember when we came back, we were having neighborhood Bible time or whatever it is they call that at my home church, and he just bolted out of the car yelling and screaming, "I got saved, I got saved." Amen. And so he got so excited that he brought Willie. Now Willie was another young man in his community, single man. And so he brought Willie, and I still remember, he brought him in there, and it was on a Sunday morning, and he said, "Joe, this Willie needs saved just like I got saved." And I said, "Well, we're getting ready to have church service here, but we'll talk about it afterwards." And so we had our service, and afterward, I stood next to him, and I said, I pulled my pen out, and I said, "Now I want you to look at this pen." I said, if this pen represented Jesus, and then you believed all these other things, like parental obedience, and you believed the ordinance letter, and you believed being separate from the world, and baptism, and belonging to the Mennonite church, and all these things. But I said, I'm just going to take these and set them off over to the side. We're going to each one of these, and we just kind of cleared everything away, and then finally there was only Jesus. And you know, the Holy Spirit did that. And I realized something that day. It's not they don't know about Jesus, but all this other stuff clouds over Jesus. But when I took all those things away, it made it clear. And I saw those tears come down. Willie was his name. Tears started coming down his face because he understood. And he got saved. And see, this is what happened. So this man got saved. He brought Willie. He got saved. And from that, all these Mennonites heard about it. And we all went over to their house, and we started having Bible studies. And one of these was a school teacher. She got kicked out for coming. I think it was this one right here. She got kicked out for being part of these Bible studies because they're very similar to the Amish. They have the old German Bible that they still follow, the rules and regulations that they follow. But this is what happens oftentimes. The Amish are such community-minded, and you get one, you almost always leads to more. That's like, you know, suddenly out of nowhere, four people are sitting in my living room, and we are doing Bible studies together. And I'm like, how did this happen? I didn't know these yesterday, and today they're in my living room, four of them. That could easily, I've had Bible studies, I did Bible study for almost two plus years with about a dozen to 15, depending on the day. We met every Saturday morning and had Bible study. And just recently, I had forgotten about the one young man moved out to Iowa, and just at the end of last year, he had asked if I would come and do their wedding. This was one of the young men that I had discipled. And so on Labor Day weekend, Esther and I got in a vehicle and drove to Branson, Missouri, where we did the wedding for Levi and his bride. He had never met his bride, but these are the things that come out of that, and many stories like that. But anyways, so number three. Are you guys still awake? Amen? Amen. Amen. Yeah. What time do we have to be done? I better look. 2:15. Oh, I think we're getting close. I know, we need to stretch a little bit too. So number one is postal, number two is former Amish, and number three is just face-to-face. Evangelism is a process. It's a process, not an event. And I will tell you, this process, if you will ask Muslims, hardcore Muslims, how did you ever get to the point of converting to Christianity? What happened in this process? And they will tell you I never knew real love until this Christian showed me unconditional love. There's a religious person doesn't know what real agape love is. And when you begin to show them that love in this process, it will get their attention.
Yes.
Let's see here. I do need to know how. Sorry, it looks like I'm confused because I am. I thought I had another yeah, I do have another session. So evangelism is more of a process than an event. Number two, gain their trust and respect. Get to know them by name. Love and encourage them. Just be yourself. People have asked, well, how do I dress? Should I dress a different way? I'll tell you something that is much more important than how you dress or whether you wear jewelry or don't wear jewelry. There's one thing that stands out above all the rest, and that is be yourself. Be sincere, innocent, just be who you are. And the older I get, that's what I'm looking for. Seriously. I'm looking past some of the stuff that used to really matter to me and saying, I'm just looking for somebody that is the real deal. Take the mask off and just be the real deal. That's what the Amish want. They just want to know that you are who you say you are. Evangelism approach. Ask open-ended questions. Never sermonize. So we talked about questions. When you go out and you preach your beliefs, they're going to do exactly what you do when Jehovah's Witnesses show up at your door. You will put up your hand and say, I'm busy today. I don't have time. And besides that, I already know what I believe. You can just keep on going. Well, an Amish person will do that for you if you come to the door. And so you have to be really careful. When you begin to preach, they will do this. But if you ask them a question, it does a couple of things. Number one, it puts them in control. Okay? Religious people love to be in control. And so being in control, what's happening here is not you're giving them control, but while they are in control, you're learning about them. And you just kind of, you know, I always think the worst people, the worst listeners are the people in ministry. And I work so hard. I seem to know all the answers, but most of the time people don't want to know all the answers. They just want somebody to listen.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And you know, Pastor, we don't have the answers most of the time. We like to think we do. But some of these are just over our head. And we just have to assure them that God is with us. We'll get together and pray. And anyway, so when you ask them a question, it puts them in control. And if they give you the wrong response, don't argue. It's not worth it. Instead, ask more questions and more questions, because a question will wake up a religious mind. And that's what needs to happen, because of and maybe this is just what I need to finish off with, because this will help you understand. When my wife was a little girl, her dad came to her and he said, now Esther, I want you to run along over to the neighbors and call the veterinary. And Esther had her bright, young, brilliant mind, and she's like wondering, now this is kind of strange, Dad, that we cannot have a phone, but you're asking me to run to the neighbors and call the veterinary, or have them call the veterinary. And so she questioned it, and her dad said, don't worry about it, just run along. And Esther ran along, and a few more days or weeks went by, and Dad come to her and said, now Esther, we need the veterinary again. We'd like for you to go back over to the neighbors and call the veterinary. And this time, Esther said, I want to help me understand, Dad. And she began to cry and try to figure out. And her dad said, Don't worry about it, Esther. This is the way we have always done it. We're the Amish, and this is how we do it. But see, what was happening is the father was shutting this little mind down. And as time went on, by the time that little girl grew up and turned 17 and 18 years old, she was told that the next step in life is to become a baptized member of the church. And so she went through that. And then they were told the next step in life is to have communion. And so she did that. And the next step is to get married. And so she did that. And then the next step is she had her own children. Now, what do you think she did? Her mind was completely shut down. And now it was her job to shut her little children's minds down. And so all of a sudden, you show up on the scene and you say, I have a question for you. Oh, nobody ever asks me questions. You know, I don't know. Remember the guy that got interviewed, Amos? Yeah, he was like, I don't know. And he never gave him any responses. He just asked more questions. I don't know. Because nobody had ever challenged him. But the man began to think on his own. And the story is true. Amos got saved. And Amos got kicked out of the Amish church. And it was all because Andy wouldn't stop asking questions. You know, Amos, I could tell you about Sam Schwartz. The same thing. This veterinary came to his house, and finally one day, Sam turned and he goes, now you have been coming here all these different times and you've been asking me all these questions. Now I have some questions for you. And that's when the veterinary got his Bible out and he answered all his questions. And Sam's like, wow, this is so amazing. I didn't know the Bible had all these answers. And next thing that happened, Sam got saved. And then his wife, Lori, got saved. And then Sam's dad got saved. And then some brothers and sisters got saved. And I was like, Sam, I think we could start a church. And we did. I became their pastor for 2 years. And it all started with a veterinary just asking a bunch of questions. That's what you got to do. Don't preach. Ask questions.
I guess one more. I'll show you this one. We talked about this. Show them that Jesus alone saves. All right. We have a break.
Yeah.
15 Ooh. Minutes, right?
Yeah. 2:30.
Huh? 2:30, yeah. So go enjoy.